Living through this pandemic has prompted some people to rethink the way they're living, whether that's what we choose to spend time on, when to say yes or no, who to spend time with. Our next guest explores the idea of changing yourself in this post-pandemic world, big and small changes, things like trying to be more extroverted by joining a club or planning a gathering, or if you're someone who's usually late, trying to be on time more often. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. In a year of forced and chosen transformation, do you plan to make some changes in your life? Has there been a time in your life when you felt like you made a difference and adjusted your personality to be more what you wanted? Give us a call at 800-642-1234, or you can email ideas@wpr.org. Our guest is Olga Kazan. She's a staff writer at The Atlantic. She wrote a book called Weird, The Power of Being an Outsider in an Insider World. Her piece on changing ourselves is called You Can Be a Different Person After the Pandemic, and it appears in the New York Times. Olga, welcome back to Central Time.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
What about these really dire pandemic circumstances do you think has made this such an opportune time to think about who we are and what our personalities are like?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to vary for different people. The person in my story had a really traumatic event happen to her where her husband died. But some of the other people I talked to, you know, it was just sort of spending more time alone, kind of getting self-reflective, not a whole lot of places to go. And, you know, thinking, you know, what served me in the before times and what didn't serve me so much? And what can I do about any kind of gaps in my life that I felt like I've discovered?
And I think sometimes I think about my personality as kind of who I am, how I am naturally, but there are different components to a personality that you explain. Five different ones, four different ones, something like that.
Yeah, there's five traits that make up personality, which, and each one has like a reverse. So it's extroversion and introversion, openness to experience and not openness, emotional stability and neuroticism, agreeableness and disagreeableness, and conscientiousness and not being conscientious, basically.
And you explain that it seems that some of those tenets are easier to change than other ones.
Yeah. So one that is like relatively easy to change from what I've kind of research and from what other people have found is actually extroversion, where you can actually make concrete steps in order to become more extroverted simply by trying to spend more time around other people. You know, some kind of old fashioned psychologists would have people like go to bars and talk to strangers, which might be kind of scary for some of us, you know, and then after a while, you kind of start to feel like you actually are a more extroverted person than you maybe thought.
And you're saying it really is possible to change that part of yourself. What do you do then if you're saying, you know, I really do want to be more extroverted? Because it you can change it quickly, but not immediately. But you can help us.
Yeah. So you can change it relatively quickly, but you have to actually behave in that way. You can't just think, oh, I would love it to, you know, be more on time, or I would love to be less neurotic. You know, I'd love to be more open to new experiences. Like, you have to actually do those things. So if you feel like you want to be open to new experiences, you have to, you know, the person that I interviewed signed up for like an alpaca a farm like visit or something, you know, which is going to be a new experience for her. You know, if you feel like you want to be more extroverted, like I said, you have to actually spend time around other people. In one study, actually putting more effort into homework led people to become more conscientious. So just behaving in a way that a conscientious person would actually leads you to become more conscientious.
And I liked that you explained that kind of turned on its head this idea that conscientious students do their homework. It's like, well, if you do your homework, you're actually more conscientious. So it's more of a like a hand in hand sort of a thing rather than making assumptions about someone's personality and then how they act.
Yeah, I mean, really what this kind of this research is trying to show is that just because you are a certain way doesn't mean you're trapped being that way forever. Even something like therapy can reduce neuroticism, which is that tendency to be really worried and negative. Going to any kind of therapy for even just a month can actually decrease neuroticism by a lot. We actually, there's a lot of potential to change your personality traits if that's something that you want to
Olga Kazan is an author, and she says each of us can be a different person after the pandemic. Are there things about the way you were living pre-pandemic that you'd like to change? Call now at 800-642-1234. Join our conversation. Are you planning to reach out to more people or join more groups or stay connected to a family or be more positive? What are you looking to change? 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Olga, something you said there makes me want to ask this question. Help us understand how much of this we should be personally driven by, and how much of this could be, I guess, forced on us by society. I mean, we saw some rough tweets early on in the pandemic saying, well, if you emerge from this not looking like thinner or having written a great novel, then wow, what have you been doing with your time? And that's not what you're arguing. You're not saying we have to live up to society standards. You're saying, what do you want to be? You can make that happen. Is that right?
To be clear, I am not saying people need to lose weight or be more productive.
Right.
So those are like not personality traits, right?
Right.
That's like a physical transformation, or in the case of, whatever, writing a novel, that's a creative, process that takes a really long time. These are just ways to look at the world and be in the world that might be different than what you were doing before. So something like agreeableness, I think, is a really interesting one, because all that is just more empathy and concern for others. So maybe the pandemic has made you think about, oh, actually, the people who are, driving my food to me, or who are working in my grocery store, they've been at greater risk this entire pandemic. And even just, thinking about people in a more empathetic way and behaving in a more empathetic way toward other people, that's already a personality change, even though it, you're not someone who's like now a, poet laureate or whatever.
Sure. And to bring it back to your extroversion example, you might not be want to be more extroverted, and that's okay. You can look at other pieces of your personality and try to improve them if that's what you want to do. Things like, you also pointed to emotional stability there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So not everyone, a lot of the comments on the New York Times article were like, why do you want people to stop being introverted? And I was like, I am introverted. I probably am not going to be going to bars and talking to strangers. So it's like not something that unless it's for a reporting assignment. So I probably am not going to work on that one. But
Because you
something
don't want
like,
to. Because it's not a
right.
right.
Yeah, it doesn't, it's not something I'm, but something like neuroticism is something that, I am kind of a worrier, and like I, have at times thought about how can I decrease my levels of neuroticism. So that's something that science has shown, that you can actually change through therapy.
Thank you for being willing to share that part of you. We're talking to Olga Kazan. She's a journalist and a writer. And we're talking about her recent piece in the New York Times called You Can Be a Different Person After the Pandemic. And we want to hear from you. There's a line for you at 800-642-1234. Have you tried to change your personality or your tendencies in the past? Maybe you're trying to be on time to things in the future rather than your usual lateness. Perhaps you don't feel like there's a whole lot of room for you to take this on right now, given the burdens of the pandemic. Share with us at 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page or send us an email. It's ideas@wpr.org. This conversation continues here on Central Time. Thanks for being with us on the Ideas Network. You can use the pandemic to reinvent yourself as a person. That's what our guest, writer Olga Kazan, says. We're talking about that concept here on Central Time. I'm Keely Boltina, and your calls are welcome on the Ideas Network. 800-642-1234 is the number. Maybe you have plans to come out of this pandemic and try something a little different, be a little bit different, because that's who you want to be. Now's the time to share it at 800-642-1234. Olga, you mentioned that we don't have to do this alone. If there's something we want to change, then we might be able to tackle it. You mentioned therapy. You also explain in your article that there's an opportunity for digital tools that could help people.
Yeah, so this researcher named Miriam Steiger actually developed this app, or I'm not sure if she developed it, or yeah, I guess she and a team of hers developed it, where it basically just reminded people to kind of do these small tasks that would help change their personality, which so to give one example, again, using extroversion, would be like talking to a stranger when you go grocery shopping. You know, maybe you're waiting in line at the checkout and, you know, you kind of strike up a conversation. And then later the app is like, well, did you actually do that? Or did you, you know, chicken out? That actually like doing those behaviors actually did change those people's personalities up to a 3-month kind of follow-up period. So that's how long they looked at whether those changes stuck. That kind of shows you that even just these like little reminders of, you know, maybe go talk to this person, you know, try something new this weekend, can actually lead to personality change.
Another piece, that you identified is that, you can kind of give people the benefit of the doubt. That might be some piece of your personality you would want to change, that if you're easily frustrated when people say cancel plans, that you think about it differently. And that really resonates with me when I think about the challenges that we'll deal with getting back together and transitioning back to a more normal life, when people are going to have different levels of comfort. And sometimes you might need to say, no, I can't do that. How do you think about that when it comes to the post-pandemic mindset as opposed to 2 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is really going to be a time of where we're all going to have to learn to be more agreeable, because people, you're right, are going to have different comfort levels. You know, I actually just tweeted about this, but so most of my friends are fully vaccinated and I'm not yet. I'm getting my second shot next week. So they can go hang out and go to bars and, you know, party. But I actually can't. So I always have to be the kind of the downer and be like, you know, sorry guys, that place is only inside and I can't go. In this case, they have to be agreeable and understand that, you know, I can't be there. You know, but I have other friends who aren't comfortable, even socializing outside until they're fully vaccinated. And, I have to be the agreeable one in those cases. And I have to kind of be more understanding and realize that a lot of people are really scared about, this virus and everything that's happened in the past year. And that, you know, we all have to be like kind of forgiving about pandemic brain and pandemic anxieties and pandemic trauma, because those are all real. And like, you know, we're kind of going to have to slowly ramp back up society and not do it all at once.
In some cases, we can just decide that now is a time we want to voluntarily change our personalities. And there are other times that things just happen to us in life where we're forced to be different because we can't go back to the person we were. You mentioned someone earlier in this. It's actually a person from Madison, Wisconsin, who was going through kind of a bit of both worlds. Can you tell us Catherine's story?
Yeah, so this woman, Catherine, that I interviewed was very interesting. Her husband died unexpectedly in January, and he was very young. He was 29. That was like a total shock to her, obviously, and a huge trauma. But her husband was like one of those people who was always up to new things. He really liked like sailing and flying airplanes. And so she has decided to kind of honor his memory by, kind of embracing this kind of lifestyle of trying new things. So this would be openness to experience of our five traits of personality. She has created a bucket list of activities to try once it's, you know, totally safe. So she's going to be like, you know, dog sledding and glass blowing and things like that. You know, it's going to be difficult for her because she's sort of more of a quiet, reserved person who, you know, is really buried in her work. But this is going to require, you know, going new places, meeting new people, trying new things, being bad at things, you know, kind of adjusting her expectations all along the way. Yeah, I don't know. I thought that was like a very powerful example of someone who's like, you know what, this is really my inspiration to try new things.
Right. And whether it's something that's as devastating as that loss or something that, you know, we didn't have a lot of death surrounding us in this pandemic. Everybody has lost out on something, from kids in school to, you know, adults in work, lots of people without work. So there are things about this pandemic that have made it kind of mandatory that we make a decision about who we're going to be next.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think it's also like an interesting reset period. Like, you know, I think a lot of people, because they've had so much more time to themselves, you know, like traditionally like silent meditation retreats are for, you know, breakthroughs. But I'm not saying we've all been silently meditating for the past year, but I think having that time of intense introspection is a good opportunity to think about, you know, what it is you really want and who it is you really want to be.
Sure. Yeah. Because even people who've been going physically to work this entire time have been spending more time alone outside of work. So, yeah, we're all going through this for sure. Olga Kazan is an author, and she says each of us could be a different person after the pandemic. Doesn't have to be a complete personality change, but we could make some adjustments to be more who we want to be. Your call is still welcome at 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Facebook page, or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Let's talk more about the popular goal for personality change being neuroticism. Help us understand what people are trying to accomplish there and how we can ratchet that part of ourselves down if that's what we want.
Yeah. So this is really one where it's like neuroticism is all about that anxiety and rumination, right? So if you're really anxious about things, or if you find yourself like stewing on things and being really negative, that's neuroticism. And it does tend to decline naturally with age. Like as you get older, maybe you have less things to worry about. So this one review of studies found that any kind of therapy actually reduces neuroticism by half the amount that you might expect to see it naturally decline over that time of your life when neuroticism is declining. And the reason why they think this works is that it just like is beneficial to have like someone who's supportive and warm and comforting to be like, you know, yes, you're valued and you're like, you know, worthy and you don't have to worry so much, I guess, is the implicit message. But I don't know. I thought that was kind of interesting that like just any kind of therapy, really like getting any kind of mental health, you know, counseling can actually reduce your neuroticism.
What if we're sitting here thinking, well, that's all fine and good for the young people, but I've been living this way and this is who I've been for decades and I can't change that. What do you say to those people who are a little bit skeptical that we can change our personalities?
Yeah, I mean, I understand that skepticism, and I'm not saying that like tomorrow you're going to wake up and be Beyonce or you know, whoever, like it's not a you know, transplant situation.
Right.
You know, first of all, just because you've been doing something for a long time doesn't mean you can't do something different. And also like, you know, just because you have like a proclivity towards something doesn't mean you can't act outside, that, kind of proclivity, I guess. I, to use another personal example, I actually am very introverted, but for my job, I talk to dozens of strangers every week. You know, I call them up on the phone on purpose and ask them really, you know, sometimes intense, sometimes adversarial questions. So I wouldn't say that that's like the mark of an introvert, but you know, it's really important to me to do journalism, and it's really important to journalism to have people asking those questions. So, you know, for me, that's sort of the push that I need in order to get out there and talk to people. So, you know, even if it's something where you feel like it's been part of you your whole life and you'll never change, you never know what'll prompt you to act in a different way.
And what do we know about whether when we make these personality tweaks or changes, whether they can stick long term?
Yeah, so I think the gap in the research here is that studies don't follow people like their entire life usually. That's pretty rare for a study. So the studies that I have seen show that it sticks for about a few months and up to a year after like the thing that you did to change your personality, whether it's the therapy or the app or the exercise. You know, this is something where you might have to do multiple therapy sessions and multiple exercises and kind of like, you know, get back in that, you know, war room with yourself and think about, you know, is this something I still want to be pushing myself to do and how can I get there? You know, so yeah, it's definitely not just like a one shot easy trick.
it's all a journey. Olga, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
Olga Kazan is a staff writer at The Atlantic and author of the book Weird, The Power of Being an Outsider in an Insider World. She wrote a piece in The New York Times called You Can Be a Different Person After the Pandemic. Read it for yourself. We've set up a link to the article at WPR.org/Central Time.